KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Well, as Warriors head coach Steve Kerr jetpacks to his phone, we continue here on 95.7 The Game with Steve right around the corner. Obviously, today is a day that we've been talking about Kyler Murray. It's also a day where we learn that DeMarcus Cousins is officially right around the corner, to the point where the team itself has announced next Friday against the Clippers will be the game. Now, what do you think, DeMarcus Cousins?
I'll just be glad to be back on the floor. I'm not really looking for a vengeance game or anything for headlines or anything like that. So I'll be glad to be back on the floor, playing a game that I love to play. I can care less who it is. I'll just be happy to be on the floor.
So it sounds like that's the biggest reason that the Golden State Warriors officially punted on having him debut at home against the Pelicans. Maybe he doesn't want that me versus the Pelicans storyline. He just wants to get back out there. And, okay, I guess I get it. Am I a little bit disappointed? Yeah, I think so. I think the drama would have been great. I think the debut in front of the home crowd would have been fantastic. Maybe it's a little easier on DeMarcus to do this away from Oracle Arena, but there's no such thing as him doing it, you know, on a smaller scale, because there's nothing that happens in the NBA that we don't know everything about. Why the 18th? Here's what DeMarcus had to say.
It was a battle, you know, between myself, training staff, the guys at the top. So eventually we all got on the same page and you know, we settled for that day.
The rumors just a week or two ago was don't expect DeMarcus anytime soon. Like late February, early March is probably more likely than you will see him by the end of this month. Now all of a sudden by the end of this month is completely in play. Why?
You know, Steve was kind of looking for a certain thing, you know, on the coach's side of things. But for me, it was kind of the same thing every day. So it was hard to kind of find that point where I could just break through and actually do what he was looking for. So I think that's more on the coaching side of things. And, you know, I'm at the point where I'm at now. And like I said, I'm ready to just be back on the floor.
Well, and for more on the coaching side of things, we go directly to the coach, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, brought to you by the Bay Club. Visit bayclub.com. Steve Kerr joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, thank you very much. A lot of talk about DeMarcus. DeMarcus was just talking about you looking for a certain breakthrough in practice. Coach, what was the breakthrough that you were looking for?
Well, he just looked like he had his conditioning where it needed to be. You know, he's been scrimmaging for the last month or so, and I would say the first 3 weeks, you know, I didn't see the level of conditioning that it was going to take to play in an NBA game. And then over the last week or so, he's just been sprinting the floor and getting up and down and looking much more like himself. And you could tell that he had reached a different level. And so I think we're ready to put him out there and, you know, see what happens right away.
Steve, are you more excited about playing him just to see what he can do, or more excited about playing him just to end the questions about when you're going to be playing him?
Yeah, exactly. It has gotten old being asked all the time, but you know, we've had our mind on this for a while. Obviously, he's a big addition to our team, and you know, we've had plenty of time to think about it. But at some point, you got to do it. You got to put him out there and work through the inevitable kinks and try to iron everything out and go forward. So it's exciting.
And I believe you said today, starting lineup or bust, huh?
Yeah. He's a guy like that. You start, you know, you just automatically put in the starting lineup. He's an all-star. He's been in this league for a long time. He's extremely talented. And so we'll see how his role as we go and what combinations of players we play with him. But to begin with, yeah, we just throw them right out there for sure.
What's the fewest amount of dribbles you ever had on 43?
I think I did it on seven dribbles one time. Great. Four dribbles, right?
As you look for new things to either admire or be in wonder about as you coach this team? Where does four dribbles on 43 rank just in terms of absurd stat gathering?
Well, it tells you a lot about our team, you know, because the ball moves so well. I think 34, but it tells you about how we operate, how we play, and how well Clay moves without the ball and how much confidence he has in everybody else getting him the ball. But to me, it's the best kind of basketball to watch, you know, when the ball's moving and it's not exactly being dribbled over and over again and the players are working together. And so I love it. It's very pleasing to the eye, but it's also the best way that we play as a group. And so I thought the whole team played a big role in Clay's big night.
A prolific amount of threes made in that Sacramento game. As a matter of fact, it's a record. 47 3 points taken by your team alone. It took 45 threes to beat the Knicks on Tuesday. Is this you adjusting to a faster pace, or is this you saying to your players, you know what, Steph, Kevin, shoot more threes?
No, I haven't said one word to them. You know, the what we talk about all the time is getting great shots. And when Steph is in the lineup, we're going to naturally take a lot more threes, just not only because he will take them, but because of the pace that he generates too. But if Steph's playing and we're playing the Sacramento Kings, trust me, there's going to be going to be a lot more, because they're playing at the number one pace in the league, and they're playing with four shooters on the floor and spacing everything out. So that's just the nature of the game when our team plays theirs this year, for sure.
I've thought that one of the worst questions that has been asked of you and your coaching staff over the last week or so, or really month or so, is, have you guys thought of how you want to use DeMarcus Cousins? And of course, Steve, you and your staff, it's literally your job to think about these things. I can't think of anything that you've thought about more than this, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's our job. And but, you know, you can draw everything you want up on a board and it might look good, but it may not work. So you have to experiment with things. And we've got lots of different ideas, you know, ways we want to play them, sets we want to run, combinations we want to see. But inevitably, you know, we have to see it, and it will take shape on its own as he gets comfortable and he gets into a groove.
Do you always refer to him as DeMarcus, or do you ever call him Boogie?
No, he's DeMarcus to me.
No Boogie, no, not even a Boogie slip?
Nope, just DeMarcus. I'm his coach. You know, I have to maintain some sense of authority. I can't bring myself to call him anything else other than DeMarcus.
Is it true you demand all your players refer to you only as Mr. Kerr?
It's actually Steve, but that's all right.
Mr. Steve Kerr to you, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Warriors head coach here on 95.7 The Game. Indulge me just a little bit, because we were talking about three-point shooting all week long and how, you know, the NBA is, you know, the evolution, the evolution, it's here. We're looking at it. And I went back to your playing days, like 95, 96, 96, 97 seasons. Over those two seasons, Steve, you took a career-high 2.9 threes per game. You did that during 72-10. The most amount of threes you ever shot in a game was 12. You did that once during that season. And I was just thinking, like, suppose Phil Jackson and Tex Winters had been the first to the three-point shot is an evolution, and they asked you to take 150 to 200 more threes that year. And you're not taking shots away from Jordan or Pippen. I'm talking about taking shots away from Dickie Simpkins and Jason Caffey and Bison Daley and Robert Parrish. Like, are you guys 82-0 if you're shooting 150, 200 more threes a year?
Probably not, but I appreciate you overvaluing my ability. That's very nice of you. But no, you know what? I mean, that was just the way it went back then. Most teams were about like we were. You know, you had maybe three guys on your team who routinely shot threes, and I'll bet if I had to guess, I'd say as a team we took maybe 15, 16 three-point shots a game at the most. So it's just a different era, a different time.
Is there anything that would regress the three-point barrage faster than allowing hand-checking again?
I haven't thought about that much. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the league is very happy with the state of play, the state of the league, the scoring. The rules have been legislated, obviously, to help the offensive player more than anything. And so I don't know that we're looking at anything that is going to slow down this three-point revolution. It's just seems like, to me, like it's here to stay.
It'll be good to get DeMarcus Cousins back next week because you got a tough part of the schedule coming up. Out on the road is where you will be. 7 of your next 8 on the road to wrap up the month, Coach.
Yeah, we have a long trip, you know, that starts out in L.A., 2 games in L.A. with a couple of days off in between, and then we head east. So I think for 4 more games, I think we're gone 13 days straight. So it's a long time to be away from home, but you know, we sometimes when you go on the road, you get a little better chance to bond. And with DeMarcus playing, you know, we'll be out there on the road, on the bus, on the plane, having team dinners. We'll all be together. I think it's actually pretty good timing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, good little chance to get away, a little team bonding. Does it feel that you've played 41 games of your schedule already? Does it feel like a halfway point? I heard Clay say, well, for us, we're more at the one-third point because we like to go deep into postseasons. What do you think about that?
I think he's right. You know, for the last 4 years, you know, we've played, I think, well over 100 games. When you factor in the preseason and then the playoffs, you know, we're up, I don't know, 110, 115 games. So Clay's right. You know, it does feel like the halfway point to me. I mean, we've been going at it since mid-September, and seems about right. And the exciting thing to me is that we're, you know, we've got a decent pace going, but we can play a lot better, you know, and I think we will, especially if we can stay healthy and incorporate DeMarcus here over the next couple of weeks.
Are you already putting together
where we're heading?
Pardon me, didn't mean to cut you off there, Coach.
No problem.
Are you already putting together your all-star game plan?
Ah. How do you know I'm not quietly cheering for Denver every day?
Ooh. Oh, by the way, we were really looking to break some news on today's show. There it is. Steve Kerr quietly rooting for Denver.
No, you know what? It's I think this would be the third time if it does happen. So it's in terms of coaching the All-Star game, and it's always one of those things. Oh, it's a great thrill, and you're honored, and you're excited about it. But then you kind of go, man, I could use a few days off.
I bet. By the way, looking for the sets to run, I'd be running alley-oops and threes. I don't know about me, but that's what I would do in an All-Star game.
Yeah, good call.
Thank you very much. Steve, the big story in sports today, other than DeMarcus returning next week, you know, and is there any chance at all you sneak him on the court Wednesday against the Pelicans?
Oh, I guess. I mean, it's really, you know, we've targeted that Clipper game with the idea that it's somewhere in that range. And if Rick Celebrini came and said, hey, he's ready to go, he can play tonight against New Orleans, I would play him. And there's also a chance that it might be the game after the Clippers against the Lakers if he's not, you know, quite right, quite ready. So it's just that's kind of the range, and we've, you know, that's the target game is that Clipper game. But, you know, it's going to be somewhere in there.
So you reserve the right to change your opinion about this next week?
Yeah, sure. Don't I have that right?
Yeah, as Warriors head coach, I believe you do have that right.
Thank you.
The other story today, other than DeMarcus's return or his soon-to-be return, is Kyler Murray. And I'm sure you've heard us talking about it. You can't turn on TV without seeing someone talk about it. Steve, what do you think of a young man who's got the choice between being a major league center fielder or a first-round draft pick at the position of quarterback? What would you say?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, what an incredible athlete. I don't know how hard that is to be a pro in two different sports. I mean, how many people have ever done that? Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders. I don't know. I think you have to choose one, don't you, these days?
Look, I can't even do a show and a podcast. Are you kidding?
Oh, man. Well, I'm impressed with him. If you like it, I'd say play baseball. Less contact, you know, longer career. But maybe he loves football. Who knows?
Got to follow your heart, no doubt about it. Either way, you're going to end up a rich professional athlete. Steve, your phone is starting to break up, so it means we're coming close to the end here. Are you ready? It's been a few weeks. Your first of 2019, give me some, no thank you. Are you ready?
Of course. I'm ready.
Clemson winning the national championship.
Yeah, give me some.
Alabama finally losing.
Sure, give me some.
Bird Box on Netflix.
No thanks.
Jetpack Racing.
What was that?
So there is a new kind of sport for rich bored people in California, I'm guessing, and they're going to try to start a jetpack racing league.
Oh God, no thanks.
Would you ever try out a jetpack?
I don't think so.
Even over a body of water, I can guarantee you no harm comes to you. Would you try a jetpack?
Probably not.
Wow, I thought you'd be a jetpack guy. I gotta
I'm not. I'm not a thrill seeker.
All right, fair enough. Do you watch The Bachelor? Give me some. No, thank you.
Oh man, I have to admit, I was on the couch with that show on. My wife and I watched, and I felt like I needed a shower afterwards. God, is that a little slice of Americana?
How popular is that show in your locker room?
I have no idea.
Do you want to know?
No, I don't. In fact, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that I even watched it.
The Oscars are going to be hostless. Give me some, no thank you.
No thanks. I'd like a host.
Thank you. As a host, I like hearing you say that, Steve. I really do. Again, we already asked you about Kyler Murray. How about this then? Surprising us against the Pelicans with a little boogie in the third quarter just because. Why not, right? Give me some, no thank you.
Sure, whatever. Yeah, whatever you want.
Steve, thank you as always for indulging us. We appreciate your time.
You got it, Damon. Thanks. Have a good night.
You do the same. Warrior head coach Steve Kerr on a whole bunch of things. Hey, it's time now for 95.7 The Game signing bonus. Your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word TEETH to 72881. That's TEETH to 72881. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Always good to have Coach on, and obviously he's not going to tell us, you know, well, this is what we're going to do with DeMarcus right off the rip. We're going to have him on the low block, and then we're going to come off two screens, and he's going to be at the top of the key, and that's where he's going to take his first three. First set of the game, Damon, that's how it's going to be. Of course he's not going to answer a question like that. But our next guest coming up at 6 o'clock, Ethan Sherwood Strauss, he loves speculating about these things. I know that Anthony Slater just did a really big breakdown of what Boogie is good at, what his strengths and weaknesses are on the court. And I'm telling you, this guy, if he shows up 75%, 85% of who he used to be, the Warriors have one of the top 10 centers in all of basketball. If he shows up exactly who he used to be, well, they got one of the top three. You know, I mean, it's the margin of Boogie is a pretty good margin. Like, even if you don't get the Boogie that you think you're going to get, you're still going to get a really good basketball player that's going to fit what the Warriors do. Just the pick and pop game with him and Curry alone. Good stuff. 888-957-9570. Look, did it feel like to you, Gianna, that he was leaving the door open a little bit on DeMarcus?
A little bit.
Yeah, not it. Yes, Target is Friday at the Clippers. But what I heard is him just say, but if on Wednesday, DeMarcus feels perfect and ready to go, and our trainers say, okay, the player can play, they might play the player.
You might see him, yeah.
They might play the player. DeMarcus said, look, it wasn't about returning against against the New Orleans Pelicans. This is not about the revenge of one Boogie Cousins.
I'll just be glad to be back on the floor. I'm not really looking for a vengeance game or anything for headlines or anything like that. So I'll be glad to be back on the floor playing a game that I love to play. I can care less who it is. I'll just be happy to be on the floor.
When he comes on back, what's he want to help with?
I see a lot of things that I can help with and a lot of areas that I fit right away in. And it's also some areas that I have to work my way towards being able to be a part of. It's a lot of things I've seen.
There are a lot of things that he's seen. It'll be interesting to see what he does and brings to the table right away. What comes on the table a little bit later on as he gets to know his teammates, as he fits in and acclimates himself to the Warriors style. How much will he evolve? How much will his game evolve? We had Caron Butler on earlier today. Here's what he had to say about DeMarcus Cousins.
Being a former teammate of DeMarcus, I played with him in Sacramento my last year in the association. And, you know, he's a welcoming player. He's so unselfish, even though, you know, his numbers and people see him as this big figure, just a bully and all these things. But he's definitely that on the basketball court. But when you're talking about having a teammate and a brother, you know, we went to a trip to Jerusalem and I spent a ton of time with him, you know, in the Holy Land. And, you know, I felt like we bonded and connected for life. You know, me, Omri Caspi, all those guys. And one thing I learned about DeMarcus is that he's a selfless player. He's a selfless person. And, you know, you never judge a book by its cover. You know, you never do that. And, you know, I think he's going to fit in perfectly well.
I am ready for 2018-19 Golden State Warrior version 2.0. This would be version 1.1. I mean, how do you like breaking that down? It feels like it's a full-on upgrade to 2.0,
so,
don't you?
Too.
Yeah, it's not a quick addendum. It's a whole new operating system.
Yes. 2.0, for sure.
Look at us talking like we know the cloud.
I have no idea. I see it on my iPhone. I'm like, I think it's in there. I think there's stuff in there. How do you get stuff out of the cloud? That's the question.
It needs to rain. That's how you get stuff out of the cloud.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. 888-957-9570. And we come on back. Boogie, you want to talk about him? DeMarcus. As far as Steve Kerr is concerned, we will go ahead and take your calls on that. 888-957-9570. We've been playing a lot of DeMarcus sound throughout the show. We will have even more for you coming up a little bit later on. We've also been discussing Kyler Murray in vivid detail because it's as fascinating a situation as a young athlete has found himself in a real, real long time. Kyler Murray would have to immediately return his $4.66 million from the A's if he were going to go ahead and enter the NFL draft. He almost will certainly make that money up the moment he declares and signs his first endorsement deal, much less his first NFL contract. We all know that the top of the mountain reserved for the most elite baseball players is a financial figure that no other sport will really let you get to. And that is incredibly tempting. But the amount, the odds that Kyler Murray really does become the next best player in all of baseball, it's a long shot. A washout draft pick, first round selection, quarterback, makes an awful lot more money up front than he would be looking at in a major league deal for an average to even above average major leaguer, because average and below average first round quarterbacks, Mark Sanchez, $74.2 million made. Matt Cassel, $65.5 million made. Ryan Fitzpatrick, $58 million in career earnings. Josh McCown, $49.7 million career earnings. These are guys who are backups. Mike Glennon, 22 starts, 6 seasons. He's earned $27.5 million. If Kyler Murray truly turned into a special quarterbacking talent, he's looking at $150 million easy over the course of his career. He basically has to become Jose Altuve to look at $150 million in baseball.
And even as a backup QB.
Right.
It's okay, too.
We'll come back with more of those numbers in the straight-up question to you. If money were not any object for your desire, all things being equal, what would you rather be? A quarterback or a baseball player? And I know a lot of people would say, look, that question alone, if you eliminate the money from it, I think baseball is the way to go. If you add the money to it, baseball still might be the way to go. If this guy 100% wants to play football, he should follow his heart. If his heart brings him to the A's, that's what he should do. Here's the crazy thing. If football is calling him, he can answer that call, not be good at it, and still have a Major League Baseball career just waiting for him. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Kyler Murray is putting out the feelers. Should I throw my hat in the NFL draft? And he has done just that. Now he's really going to get the information that he needs to make the best choice available. And if he is indeed going to be a first-round draft pick, how do you walk away from that opportunity to walk towards Major League Baseball? And I don't think that he would do this if he were doing this like half-stepping. There is no half-stepping to the NFL. You either got to be in or out. This is exploratory. I think it's a smart thing for him to do. Maybe he takes his head out of the ring. Maybe his size will be that much of an issue. But right now, more than maybe anything else, if we take the money out of this, it turns into opportunity. And I've got a guy here on the text line who has just made a fabulous point. He said, Damon, sometimes life is as simple as supply and demand. The NFL quarterback is starved at that position. Major League Baseball's not starved for center fielders. That alone, you should go NFL all the way. Scarcity at the position is something that we really haven't discussed today. And if you are a good center fielder, congratulations, you will be among a handful of really good center fielders. If you're a good quarterback, you're one of 12 human beings on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You really are.
Much smaller pool.
That'll certainly give your brand a goose, the sponsors a goose. Everyone's going to want to be in the Kyler Murray is the coolest, hottest quarterbacking business. I don't know anybody who's in the, I don't care who is the next baseball player, outside of Bryce Harper, who's the next cool up-and-coming guy that's going to be sold. I just don't think Oakland's the right market for him to count on that happening. Situations dictate outcomes. Gene is in Oakland. Gene, you're Kyler Murray. What's your choice?
Hey, Damon. My choice is take baseball, and I want to give you a little history lesson here. Going back to 1976, there was an Oakland Tech three sports hero by the name of Ricky Henderson, okay, who was a high school All-American running back who wanted to play for the Oakland Raiders desperately at the time, okay? His mother got a hold of him and says, you're crazy, you're small, 5'10", and you're going to get your brains beat out. She talked him out of it. He went on to play for the A's, 79. And had a 23-year Hall of Fame career, which I'm sure he's never regretted. Now,
Gene, quick question. Was Ricky Henderson drafted in the first round by an NFL team?
Would Ricky Henderson have been drafted first round?
I mean, like,
he would have had to go to college first, maybe.
Right, but my whole point is Ricky never even had before him the fork in the road that we're talking about. Ricky Henderson was never invited to be a professional athlete in any other sport by any other league. Not really. His mom saying that he had the potential is not the same.
Yeah. He had several scholarships from top universities to play football. So
right, but a scholarship is a scholarship to college. That's not invited to the NFL draft. Again, there's way too much would've, could've, should've in that for Ricky to be the right guy. Like, Jeff Samardzija is a better comparison than Ricky Henderson. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate you listening. It sounds like you are going baseball all the way because you really like Ricky Henderson. By the way, we like Ricky Henderson, too. If I'm Kyler Murray, I still think I might go to... I just think that I'm going football. If I'm a football, I'm making professional athlete money day one. If you're baseball, you get that nice signing bonus, and then, hey, good luck. You might toil 6 years in the minor leagues riding buses and staying in O'Connell lodges on your way to being a pro, or you could be let behind the Red Rope Club today, day one. Welcome to the lifestyle of the rich and famous professional athlete.
Comes a lot faster in the NFL.
Just a little proof. You can't really find a more successful major leaguer over the last handful of years than Jose Altuve, right? So Jose Altuve, from the time the Astros signed him as a rookie, as an amateur, to the point where Altuve went through the Houston Astro minor league system and he was fast-tracked all the way to being MVP of the American League. Jose Altuve, until he turned 28 years old, made a grand total of $12.75 million with the Astros. It's good money, no doubt about it. He played 925 games. This is a guy who made only $6 million last year, coming off an MVP. Don't cry for him, though. He signed a 7-year, $163 million extension. But again, by the time he was 28, he had only made $12.75 million. If Kyler Murray gets a second NFL contract, whether that's to be a starter or not, first-round draft pick reaches a second contract, you're talking $80 to $90 million by the time he's 28 years old. No minor league bus, no spring training, one game a week, not seven a week. You get an airplane 10 times a year. Not 10 times a month. If you make it all the way to the very tippy top of Major League Baseball, congratulations, you're Manny Machado, you're Mike Trout, you're Bryce Harper, then yes. If you can guarantee me that, all right. 23-year-long Major League career, making $300 million over the course of your primetime contract, all guaranteed, you go do that. What if he can't hit the curveball? What if he can't hit major league pitching? Everyone's talking about, well, look how small he is. He might get hit by bigger, stronger guys. Dude, he just played at Oklahoma. Getting hit by bigger, stronger guys is something he's used to. I don't know if he's used to major league yakkers. The major league yakker has chewed up and spit out many a top pick. Even if he stunk as a quarterback. Even if he sucked, he's a pro making millions. If he sucks in the minor leagues, he doesn't even reach the pro. Well, no, I mean, the chances of him reaching are pretty good. Rick Karcher, who is a professional sports management professor at Eastern Michigan University, analyzed the last 20 rounds of the draft from 96 through 2011. So these numbers are as frequent as 2011, all right? Of players drafted out of college, 74.3% go on to reach the majors. Right out of high school, you're at 51.6% of college. No, 51.6% of college first rounders made the majors for at least three seasons. That's still only half.
But not bad odds. I mean, half. You got 50-50 shot.
50-50 shot is okay. If you're 100% a first-round pick in the NFL, there's no 50-50 of you having to re-audition just by getting to, you know, like, gee, let's see if, you know, you're going to go through the, let's say he was drafted by the New Orleans Saints, just to pick a team, random team. There is no New Orleans Saints minor league system. If he's drafted by the Saints, he's backing up Drew Brees week one next year. You know what I mean? Like, there's just an accelerated, you're a pro track in major in football that dwarfs the opportunity, I think, of Major League Baseball. Nick Berkeley, you're Kyler Murray. What do you want to be?
I'm thinking about Las Vegas because I think the way that Gruden was gushing over Patrick Mahomes, who represents, you know, the closest thing to Mahomes coming out of college, first of all. And then secondly, I think that you're completely right, that, of course, that you can always play football, then fall back on baseball. It's virtually impossible to start playing baseball and jump into football. You got to keep playing football and be in that state of condition. But I remember the Elway leverage thing. Oh, I'm not going to sign because I don't want to play for this team. I'm gonna play for the Yankees. Or no, I'm not. I'm going to get traded. So maybe some teams might be leery about drafting a cat like that in the first round.
Maybe. Yeah, we don't know. But he's about to go ahead and do the due diligence, if I can quote Brian Sabian, as he tries to evaluate what is the right choice for him. Question here from the Chilton Auto Body text line. Damon, as it stands right now, if he chooses the NFL, what is it? Where does this leave the A's? Leaves them high and dry without a first-round pick because Kyler Murray chose to do something else, which if you really think about it, look, and I'm not here to bash the A's, not for a second. I don't really even want to talk about him anymore. But David Force should have taken – if Kyler Murray was the ninth pick in the draft, who was the tenth pick in the draft? He should have taken that kid because that kid, it was probably not a starting quarterback at a Power 5 school whose last guy who played that position won the Heisman. I mean, the A's should have realized that there was a risk here. And of all the teams in baseball, there is no teams whose success is more dependent on their minor leaguers becoming major leaguers for them. You know, other teams use things like free agency and money to build their rosters, not the A's. So they can't afford to lose what it looks like they're about to lose, their first round pick. Nick Menlo Park, you're on 95.7 The Game, Nick.
Hey, Damon, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to have to go with baseball just because it's safer and you're not going to have questions and possible CTE and all that other stuff that comes with it. I personally have suffered from concussions throughout my hockey career when I was younger. Had to stop playing because of concussions, post-concussion symptoms and everything, and I think it's just better to be safe for your head and go with baseball.
Yeah, I mean, but Brandon Belt disagrees. You know what I mean? Like, Brandon Belt has been had a career mired by concussions. There is no concussion-free professional sport. You could get hurt anywhere, and I'm even going to argue right now that it's safer to play quarterback in 2018 going forward in 2019 than it's ever been. And the guys who I think are really subject to CTE concerns are your running backs, your linebackers, and your linemen, and your defensive players, because you're hitting every single day. You're hitting in practice. You're hitting all the way as you become a professional. Then you get hit. You're hitting on every single play that you play. Quarterbacks aren't even allowed to be hit unless it's an actual game. You're never allowed to be hit in practice. And if you are hit in a game, it needs to be so gently now to not get a personal, a personal foul and 15 yards for roughing that I don't know, man. Like, I just think that Kyler Murray, I mean, look, it sucked that Alex Smith broke his leg this year. That's the worst injury to any NFL quarterback. And I know that there are players, former players, who played the position of quarterback who are forever changed. But the game was different back then. The game that made a lot of former quarterbacks, the fuzzy upstairs entities that they might be now, the game isn't like that anymore. I got a guy here says, Damon, Steve Young begs to differ with you. Yeah, Steve Young is a broadcaster who speaks more clearly and intelligently on the sport of football than just about anybody. Like, Steve Young, he ain't suffering. Not that I can tell. Christian in Concord. What's going on, Christian?
Hey, what's going on, Damon? Gianna, how you guys doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
On this whole Kyler Murray thing, I actually played against him in college. And baseball. And to be honest with you, I don't even know how he was a first-round pick. I mean, the guy, he's fast, but he had a decent arm. I will say he had an MLB arm, but every time he got up to bat against us, and I went to a small D1 school, he was bunting to get on base. And I understand to use your speed to get on base. And, you know, anytime he got on base, it was like him getting a double because he was steal. But now in today's MLB, it's all about launch angle and power hitter. And when you got the first round guy, you want a guy who's going to provide pop eventually. And I just don't see it from him. And I think football would be way better for him. And he could go further because you never know what could happen. He could come in the league and tear it up compared to baseball. Like you said, he's going to sit in the minors for 6 years. He gets called up. You know, when you get called up and you're a first-round pick, I expect you to, you know, hit 30-plus jacks a year if we're spending that kind of money on you. So that was my opinion.
I appreciate it, Christian. Look, there's going to be major league pressure to produce, whether he's a major leaguer or in the NFL. There's no such thing as the pressureless first-round quarterback. You know, there's a lot of pressure no matter what you do. And a really good call that we had in our first hour today was said, you know, like, hey, at least if you're a major league baseball player, major league baseball is an individual sport that is disguised as a team sport. Your success is more predicated on your own ability than in football, where your success is completely predicated on the situation you're in, on the offense that you're running, on the coach that you have, on the talent around you, on the skill of your offensive line. There's a lot more moving parts that equal your success as a football player. Our fascination with the sport of football. To me, it's hard to ignore. You know, Mike Trout, the best living, breathing baseball player, is less recognizable. How many years has Mike Trout been a major leaguer, Albie? What year is he in? It's got to be years 7, 8, 6, what? No. Mike Trout, how many years? How many years has Mike Trout been a major leaguer?
I'm editing Senior Kerr for you right now.
Oh, thank you very much. We will have that Steve Kerr replay coming up at 6:30. Ethan Sherwood-Strauss is joining us at 6 o'clock tonight. But Lamar Jackson, in like 6, 8 NFL games, became a household name.
Trout made his MLB debut July 8th, 2011 for the Angels.
You're going to make me do math.
What's that? That's 9 years?
9 years. 9 years. 9 years.
I don't even know if that's right.
9 years, the vast majority of my audience, who just based on the fact that you're my audience means that you check the box of I'm a sports fan. If you're in my audience, you're a sports fan. If you hit Mike Trout's car on the way home tonight and the two of you were talking about a fender bender on the side of the road until roadside service showed up, it would probably take proof of insurance for you to realize that that was Mike Trout.
Yeah, he's not totally recognizable. 8 years.
Household names.
Math. Eight years.
Household names. Household names, if you play, maybe Nick Mullins' household name is officially pushing it, but he's certainly a Northern California household name. I mean, Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, these guys became daily talk show subjects. I just think that there's going to be so many more marketing opportunities from the sport of football.
Well, if you're good, I mean, the endorsements alone.
If you're good in baseball, the endorsements alone might not even be there, not never, ever. And believe me, LeBron James has made more money from Nike than he has the NBA. Now, he's obviously an outlier because he's the face of the brand. Kyler Murray might make more money signing a deal to wear Under Armour cleats in the NFL, guaranteed, than he would toiling away in minor league baseball trying to figure out how to hit a backdoor slider. And if he never really developed into who you wanted him to be as a starting quarterback, well, you know, you go to be a backup quarterback then, and you're still rolling in cash and a lifestyle that might even be better than having to be an athlete. Like, come on. There was an argument back when I was in the greatest position in the history of football was backing up Peyton Manning. Was it Jim Sorge? Colts all those years, Jim Sorge. Hey, the good news is you're not going to play again this season. Peyton takes every single snap. I think the thing is just so interesting, and I'd give my entire life to just have this decision in front of me. And I got a pretty good life. I like what I do. I like who I am. I like where I am in life. There's not a lot of people where I'd be like, okay, that's such an interesting scenario. I would like to trade places. I would love to trade places with Kyler Murray. What an absurdly talented young man who's just got so much future in front of him.
Well, the life he's living right now. Heisman Trophy winner, QB.
Good.
He's having a good time, I'm sure.
Good times. It's the old Yogi Berra saying, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. Well, whether he goes left or right, it's going to be fantastic. Kevin in Dublin. What do you think Kyler should do, Kevin?
Damon, I know he's going to go for the NFL. You need to know how I know.
How?
It's because he already shot the in his veins the NFL.
Kevin, it sounds like you were about to make a point and you sort of lost the point on the way to making the point. I got to be honest with you. Thank you for the call. This is Jerry in Oakland. What do you got, Jerry?
Hey, Damon. You made me, over the weekend I was thinking about this issue, and I was thinking about going baseball all the way, but then you changed my mind a little bit, Damon, but listening to you, because about going, playing, Triple A, Single A, and all that, I think football is the best option because you got that guaranteed money, and then if you really want to worry about down the road, then go try baseball because then financially you're set, so you can go ahead and take your bus rides and do everything because financially you'd be ready to go. So you might end up being better than Tebow, try it out. But I think I like your approach on it. Go football, take that money for a while, and then when you're financially set, go ahead and try baseball.
Look, that's waiting for him. I mean, again, if he really does have interest in both, put the football career in front of the baseball career, and believe me, the minute you decide to call Billy Beane and say, I'm interested, he'll pick up the phone. He would absolutely pick up the phone. We got Ethan Sherwood Strauss right around the corner. I'm looking forward to talking to him. We got an awful lot of boogie on the way. We got the Warriors with a big road trip coming up. Ethan Sherwood Strauss. By the way, another thing I'd like to get into just a little, and we didn't really talk to Steve Kerr about this because it wasn't the right time. We had too many other things to go through today. But Tim Kawakami wrote a really interesting article for The Athletic about how that little hallway at Oracle Arena, where the media comes out and the players come down from their locker room, that little hallway, very innocuous, just hallway, turns into one of the ultimate spots that Bay Area power brokers occupy for about a 30-minute window at the end of every single Warrior game. It's like Silicon Valley meets the NBA, and all the luminaries are there. And what an advantage it is for the Warriors, to the point where half the reason why they're building Chase Center is so this business doesn't just happen standing in a hallway, but they're going to have special rooms for these things. Like, it's going to be set up for the Hobbs and the Knobs to all be hobnobbing with each other.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting story. We'll have a little bit of that. I bet you we're going to even ask Ethan Sherwood Strauss about that. More of your calls coming up. And oh, by the way, at the bottom of the hour, if you missed any Steve Kerr, we will have the Kerr replay for you at 6:30 tonight here on 95.7 The Game.